This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 306 as we enter the 11th month of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza and the region. And we'll also share some reportage highlights from the Electronic Intifada's contributors there. Israel bombed three separate United Nations schools operating as shelters for displaced people over the weekend in Gaza City. On Saturday, at least 17 Palestinians were killed when Israel bombed the Hamama school in the Sheikh Radwan neighborhood. On Sunday, at least 30 Palestinians were killed in attacks on the An-Nasr and Hassan Salama schools. The Gaza government media office said that the Israeli army has so far targeted more than 170 shelters across Gaza since October, including 152 public and UN schools. The media office stated, quote, the Israeli occupation army focuses greatly on targeting and bombing displaced civilians inside schools and also targets gatherings of displaced civilians in general, especially in areas that the occupation claims are, quote, safe areas, according to a deliberate plan aimed at premeditated killing and achieving the greatest possible number of civilian casualties. Israeli forces also bombed the courtyard of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah at dawn on Saturday, targeting the tents of thousands of displaced people seeking shelter. A fire spread through the tent encampment. At least five people were killed and dozens were injured. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, stated that, quote, since March, the Al-Aqsa Hospital compound has been struck three times, each time injuring and killing people. On March 31st, an Israeli strike hit the yard of the hospital compound. On July 22nd, another strike hit near the main entrance to the emergency department. Yesterday, Israeli aircraft targeted a home in Deir al-Balah in the center. Journalist Maha Husseini said that the bomb did not explode, but she says, quote, as people gathered around to evacuate the residents, a second bomb was dropped, which exploded and devastated the entire neighborhood. A third bomb was dropped a few minutes later. At least two Palestinians were killed and many others were injured. Another strike targeted a nearby area where displaced Palestinians have set up tents. The government media office in Gaza said on Tuesday that the number of journalists killed in the territory since last October now stands at 166 after an Israeli attack killed Mohammed Issa Abu Saada, a correspondent and photographer with several media outlets. The killing of Abu Saada came on the heels of last week's killing of prominent Al Jazeera correspondent Ismail Al-Ghul and cameraman Rami Al-Rifi in an airstrike in Gaza City. Khaled Al-Shawa, a 17-year-old bystander, was also killed in the strike. Our senior editor, Maureen Claire Murphy, reports that Irene Khan, the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Opinion and Expression, condemned the killing of Al-Ghul and Al-Rifi and said, quote, the Israeli military seems to be making accusations without any substantive evidence as a license to kill journalists, which is in total contravention of international humanitarian law. A statement released by Khan noted Israel's, quote, total ban on Al Jazeera in Israel and the vicious smear campaign against the broadcaster, and called for the International Criminal Court to move swiftly to prosecute the killing of journalists as a war crime. For much more on Israel's continued attacks on journalists and recent news from Gaza, read Maureen Claire Murphy's forthcoming report on electronicintifada.net. On Monday, Israel delivered a truck not with aid or medication or food inside, but rather the decomposed bodies of nearly 90 Palestinians. The director of the Palestinian Civil Emergency Service in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza told Al Jazeera on Monday that it was unclear whether the bodies had been dug up from cemeteries by the Israeli army or whether they were detainees who had been tortured and killed. He said that the occupation provided us with no information about the names or ages or anything. This is a war crime, a crime against humanity. Hamas issued a statement saying that the bodies were handed over, quote, in a state of complete decomposition without any ability to determine their identities. The Gaza government media office stated on Monday, quote, over the course of 304 days of the genocide, the occupation has kidnapped more than 2,000 bodies of martyrs and dead people from dozens of cemeteries in the governorates of the Gaza Strip, which the occupation bulldozed with bulldozers and military vehicles and turned their graves over in scenes that violate humanity. Andrea De Domenico, the head of the Palestine office with the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, addressed the press last week. Over the past 300 days, he said, he has witnessed, quote, the absolute physical and psychological exhaustion of an entire population, and said that the people in Gaza have been deprived of the mere thinking of what tomorrow could bring for them, warning that we cannot allow ourselves to become immune to horror. He added that due to heavy access impediments and widespread security risks, ongoing aid efforts continue to fall short of the enormous needs in Gaza, which has become a graveyard for children, as UN Secretary General had warned. Razan Abu Salem and Khaled Al-Hissi wrote about the trauma endured by children who have so far survived 10 months of genocide. Gazelle, a six-year-old girl, screams when she hears an explosion or any other loud noise, they write. When a bombardment occurs at night, she insists on sleeping in her father's arms. She's traumatized by how Israel killed her uncle in the early stages of the current genocidal war. Gazelle keeps asking, where did they take Uncle Basil when he was sleeping? In mid-January, the Israeli military surrounded with tanks the Khan Yunis school where Gazelle and her family were sheltering. The Israelis ordered everyone to leave the school within 15 minutes. We went through the checkpoints and walked for 8 hours with corpses lying on the ground all along the way, Gazelle's mother said. I don't want to die, Gazelle said repeatedly as she saw dead bodies. I don't want to die like them. I am a child. Omar, a five-year-old, was rescued from under the rubble in February. He's the only surviving member of his family. When he was brought to Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir el-Balah, doctors decided that he required an arm and leg amputation. As his parents have been killed, Omar's aunt Maha is now taking care of him. He keeps asking where his mom and dad are. Maha does not know what to tell him. Omar has spoken about how he saw his sister Yasmin without a head following the attack on the family. He's only five, Maha said. What did Omar do to those soldiers? Why have they destroyed his life? For almost 10 months, Israel has been attacking Gaza. The pain has been horrific for everyone, especially children. For the full story, read Razan Abu Salem and Khaled Al-Hissi's feature, Children Traumatized by 10 Months of Genocide, on electronicintifada.net. And Nada Hamduna, a new writer for the Electronic Intifada, writes that she had dreamed of becoming a translator, mastering different languages and traveling to discover new cultures. But she says, now I only dream of surviving. She writes that in March 2024, when the Israeli military withdrew from Al-Amudi in northwestern Gaza, my family and I returned to see if our house was still standing. The shock was immense when we found that the house had been bombed and was all burned up. We sat down to process our loss, and once we regained our senses, we searched inside what was left of the house. After 3 hours of searching, I found a precious gift given to me by my grandmother before she died, a bottle of perfume. It was a surprise to find this, and I thought I might find more. Then there was an explosion in the house. All I remember is dust and smoke filling the ruins of our home. I was disoriented and didn't know what was happening. My hand was bleeding. My family and I called out to each other. When we finally found each other, we were all in shock. We found my cousin Isa lying on the ground, his body pocked with small holes and his eyes not where they were supposed to be. There was no taxi or car to take us to the hospital, and since the cell phone networks were down, we couldn't call for an ambulance. My father carried Isa, running around 1.5 kilometers to the hospital. but when he arrived, Asa was dead. He was only 15 years old. We believe it was an unexploded munition that killed him. We took him to the cemetery to bury him, and we recited the verses from the Quran. But my brothers couldn't say goodbye to Asa. They couldn't accept he was dead. I survived the explosion physically, but I do not think I survived it psychologically. For the full story, read Nada Hamduna's feature, Israeli Ordnance Kills Long After Initial Impact, on electronicintifada.net. And turning to the occupied West Bank, Israel raided Jenin on Monday and Tuesday, killing at least 8 Palestinians and destroying homes and bulldozing streets inside the Jenin refugee camp. Children in Jenin attempted to take down an Israeli surveillance drone during the Israeli army raid on Monday. Four Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces in Aqaba near Tubas, also in the northern West Bank. Israeli settlers rampaged through the village of Yatma near Nablus, setting fire to cars. Other settler mobs attacked and set fire to areas near Bethlehem. And finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza that highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people, and specifically children, this week. Journalist Maha Husseini posted this video of kids having fun in the displacement camp in Deir al-Balah. An artist, Mohammed Ahmed, painted children's faces at a displacement camp, also in Deir al-Balah. And Mohammed Hussein on Twitter at Athamna Ahmed, A-T-H-A-M-N-A-A-H-M-A-D, posted this video of himself playing with his young children with the caption, "As the world shares in our sorrow in Gaza, we also ask you to share in our moments of hope. In this video, amidst the shelling, I play with my children on top of our tent. We long for peace and safety, clinging to the hope that freedom's sun will rise and this war will end." And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.